Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and every one of you who counted it not robbery to join us this evening for this, the 683rd episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We just bless God for each and every one of you. We are truly excited about what God, we are believing him for the move of God, for the move of his spirit this evening on the lives of the listening audience and then the lives of myself and my own life. Amen. You know that usually at this time you would be tuning in to listen to Daughters of Ruth with our host, Reverend Maureen Lee. And we bless God that she was not able to be here with us this evening. However, she counted it not robbery to allow me to stand in for her and provide a word from the Lord. So this evening, I am your host, Pastor Toy Daly, and I welcome you to a special edition of Study for Life. And as always, before we go any further with this evening's word, we are going to stop for a word of prayer. Amen. Father God, we come before you this evening just blessing and praising your holy name, Father. We praise you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you are going to do. Father, if we had 1,000 tongues, we could not praise you enough for everything that you have already done. We just bless and magnify your holy name. God, we thank you for the spirit of healing that you are releasing upon your people, God. Yea, even those who are not yet walking in it, we know that the manifestation of it is right there at their door, God. So we bless you in the name of Jesus for the healing that you are releasing upon them this evening, God. We thank you for the move of your spirit this evening. We ask that as I surrender to you and to your will, that you will move by your might and by your power, stomping through the enemy's camp, Father, that we will snatch back everything that the enemy has attempted to take from your kingdom, God. We speak right now in the name of Jesus, joy where there is sorrow. We speak love where hatred is prevailing. We speak peace where anger is prevailing. We speak comfort where people are dealing in grief in the name of Jesus, God. But most importantly, Father, we ask that you will draw some lost soul to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray this evening, and I say amen, amen, and amen. Now, as I said, I'm really excited about being here this evening, and y'all already know what time it is in the kingdom. And as our sister Adrian would always say, it's about to go down in the PK. So what we want you to do as we are about to dive into God's word, send out a message. Send out a, whether it be via text, if you hit someone up on social media, and let them know that we are broadcasting live right now on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. If they can't get us that way, they can follow any of the links on social media. They can join us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google Plus, or Twitter at Purpose Kingdom, and you just hit that link that's right there provided, and you will be able to listen. Or you can let those loved ones, as you're sending out that text message, or you yourself may be listening in this evening, via internet and would like to call in and join in our conversation, the number to call is 319-527-6091. Again, that number is 319-527-6091. And if you would like to speak live on the air, just push the number 1 and we will bring you on as soon as possible. Now it's that time. Grab your Bibles, grab something to write with if you don't already have it, and something to write on as we dive into study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. And I'm going to apologize right now ahead of time for some of the background noise. The Lord has blessed me that I have my youngest grandchildren with me, and anyone who has grandchildren, you know, you can keep older children quiet, but it's sometimes a little difficult, as hard as they're trying to keep a 3- and a 4-year-old as quiet as we may need them to be, but we are going to bless God for them, and we are going to keep going forward with the word, because as I always say, if we were in a worship session in a sanctuary, we would not stop bringing forth the word because of the noise of the babes, amen? So we are going to ask you to just be patient with us as we dive into God's word. And this evening, I'm going to be coming from the book of Acts. The book of Acts. The book of Acts is the 5th book in the New Testament. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. The 5th book of the New Testament. And we're going to be coming from one verse. It's one verse in this particular book that the Lord really dropped into my spirit, and it's been dealing with me on it for a while. But if you could meet me in the book of Acts at the 13th chapter, and we're going to read just the 22nd verse. Amen? And I'm reading originally from the New King James Version. And it reads, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Amen. I'm going to read that one more time. It says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will." Amen. And as I said, now Acts chapter 13, this is a particular chapter in the Bible that I have been blessed to read over on more than just one occasion. And it just always amazes me that no matter how many times you read God's scripture, you can always go back in and find something new. So now as we join this scripture of Acts chapter 13, we find the Apostle Paul, and he is teaching to the Jewish children or the children of Israel, and he is trying to show those who are listening to him the lineage in the bloodline of Jesus. And he is doing this by passing from King David to the son of David, thus attempting to show the people that Jesus is and was the promised seed. Amen. And what he was attempting to do was to explain to them, if you read through the entire scripture, that Jesus did the one thing that no one else before him was able to do. He did that one thing that the judges, although they tried to do, they could not do. He did that thing that the prophets of old attempted to do, but they could not do. And this Jesus he was talking about had done what the high priest of that time wanted to do, but they could not do. And that was, they could not seem to remove sin from our lives. Oh, they could follow the tradition and the teaching of the law, and they could perform the sacrifices to bring about the covering of the sin and asking for forgiveness of the sin, but they could not remove sin from the people. They could not remove the blemish of sin from the people. He was trying to explain to them it was like the ultimate stain remover. I don't know how many of you see some of the commercials today, but the big thing when it comes to laundry detergent is who can get the stain out. And what he was trying to do was he was trying to show them that Jesus was better than Shout Out. He's better than Tide. He's better than Tide with OxyClean. He's better than peroxide. He's better than bleach. Oh, he cannot just get the stain out, but he has the ability to cleanse you through and through. And as awesome as this lesson is that Paul was giving to the people, and I mean because that's a lesson all by itself, in the awesomeness of God and the awesomeness of the love of God that he bestowed on us through Jesus Christ the Messiah, as awesome as that is, when I read this scripture, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, when I got to the second half of that scripture, the Spirit of God grabbed me and I saw it for the first time in a different way than I've ever seen it before. And I pray that through the unction of the Holy Spirit this evening that I can plant that seed into your spirit and that maybe you will begin to get this revelation in your heart on how awesome this word particularly is, this one scripture. And that portion of the scripture that grabbed me, Acts again, chapter 13, verse 22. And if we were dissecting it, we would say section B or the last half of the scripture. In the last half of the scripture just simply says, David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all that I will. And when I read that, David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, I had to begin to ask the question, why? Why was David a man after your own heart, God? And not just why, but how? How did he become a man after your own heart? When did he become this man after your own heart? And more importantly, what did he do to become this man after God's own heart? Like, it really took me to how. Because understand, I love the relationship that I have with my Father. I love the relationship that I have with the Creator. But what I need to know is, God, am I a woman after your own heart? And that thing began to deal with me, and God began to let me really see this thing. Now, what you have to understand is, as I said, this was Paul talking to the people, and at the time that he's talking to the people, King David has been out of office. He has been dead for centuries, but he is still considered, even in biblical times, as he is still considered today, one of the historically great kings of Israel. His words have been penned from the Psalms. They are included as part of every holy scripture. You can find part of the Psalms of David in the Torah, the Bible, and the Quran, just as we find them in it today. God's word is so awesome. Everyone knew who David was. Most people today, even some that do not attend any type of sanctuary or mosque or church, they know who King David is if you were to ask them about him. So when Paul was talking about this great king, they knew who he was talking about. They didn't have to figure out anything. They knew who Paul was talking about. They were talking about King David. And again, he was talking about King David, and in his talking about King David, he said to him that God referred to him as a man after his own heart. He didn't say that, you know, the high priest of the time felt that way about David or that the prophets of old felt that way about David. But what he said was that when God called David to the throne, he told the prophet Samuel to anoint him because he was a man after God's own heart. And what gets me is when Paul is talking, as I said, this is centuries later. And when I look at King David and everything he has done, you know, King David the adulterer, King David the murderer, King David who would sometimes be considered the deadbeat dad, King David. But yet after everything he had done, was considered a man after God's own heart. It made me think to President Barack Obama, you know, in a few years, if we were to talk to the next generation of children about President Barack Obama in, like, say, in 50 years from now, they were talking about the first recognized African-American president of the United States. And they would talk about how he had no scandals. He had no children outside of wedlock. He had committed no crimes, and how well he and his family carried themselves while he was serving in the White House. And so far, what it seems like is after his time of service in the White House. But with every good thing that we can say about Barack Obama, I have yet to hear God say, yes, Barack Obama is a man after my own heart. Yet that's what he said about King David. King David the adulterer. King David the deadbeat. King David the murderer was a man after God's own heart. And I know everybody keeps saying, well, why do you keep saying that? It's a reason. And we're going to get to that reason why I keep harping on his faults. Because somebody believes that their faults are hindering them in their relationship with God. And I'm here to let you know that God has provided a way, a stain blaster, somebody that can erase the faults, that can make the crooked straight. Hallelujah, God. He did that for us, a man after God's own heart. So with everything that I just talked about King David, and you can read about King David in Second Samuel, as well as in the book of Kings. You can read about King David, but he said he was a man after God's own heart. So the first thing that I had to understand was with everything that King David did, every mess up, every mistake, everything he did, Lord, please let me understand how this man became a man after your own heart. And the first thing I had to do was understand what does it mean to be a person who is a man or a person after God's own heart. What does it mean for you to be a part of God's heart? And I was getting ready to start researching, and I had pulled out, you know, my thesauruses, and I had pulled out my commentary, and I was getting ready to start digging, and the Lord said, just go to the Message version. I promise you, you'll find the answer. So I opened up Acts chapter 13, verse 22 in the Message version of the Bible, and what I found was how you can become a person after God's own heart, what that actually means. And what it reads as follows. It says, after Saul had ruled 40 years, God removed him from office and put King David in his place with this commendation. I searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He's a man whose heart beats to my heart, a man who will do what I tell him to do. So when I read that, I began to say, oh, bless God, because now I understand it. In order for me to be a person after God's own heart, my heart has to get into rhythm with God's heartbeat. Somebody's going to catch that after a while. You ever been out at a party, at a dance, and you trying to dance with somebody that can't find that beat? No matter what you do, you try to slow it down, you clap your hand and stomp your foot for them, but they just can't find that beat to save their life. That's what happens when we get out of rhythm with God. But at some point, if you can ever get in rhythm with God's heartbeat, then that's how you become a person after God's own heart. You can't beat faster than him. You can't beat slower than him. You have to get to a place in your life where you are beating right in accordance with him. My topic for this evening, if you have not figured it out by now, is simply to ask the question, are you in rhythm with God's heartbeat? Amen. Now, I heard theologians in the past when they tried to wrestle with why was David a man after God's own heart, and how David was a man after God's own heart, or how did David get in rhythm? How did he get his heartbeat in rhythm with God's heartbeat? And most theologians would go on to say, well, it was because David had a repenting heart. David, when he would find himself falling short of the glory of God, when he would find himself caught up in sin, that David had a truly repenting heart, and that once you learn how to repent and ask for forgiveness the way that David did, that you will find yourself in rhythm with God's heartbeat. But God has sent me past here this evening to let you know that it's just a little bit deeper than a repenting heart. Amen. And what do I mean that it's a little bit deeper? Well, repentance is important. Repentance is of the utmost importance. However, it goes deeper than just repentance, because if you go back into the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 14, you will find that God told the prophet Samuel to anoint David while he was still watching his father's sheep. So God told the prophet Samuel to anoint David as the king while he was still taking care of his father's business, while he was doing and going about his daily chores, while he was still yet a little boy. God told Samuel to anoint David as the next king. And what I loved about that is not only did he tell him to anoint him as the next king, but he then told him, because David, this son of Jesse, is a man after my own heart. That means that God saw something in David right from the beginning. Before he ever set foot on the throne, before he was even anointed as king, God saw something special in David. Even with everything that went on, God saw something special in David. Remember, God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. So he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and in all places at all times. So God, knowing the mistakes that David was going to make throughout his lifetime as a child when he was sending the prophet to anoint him, still calls him a man after his own heart. Why is that important to somebody today? Because somebody is sitting there going, oh, I know what God spoke over me as a child. I know the anointing that they said I had in my life as a child. But you don't understand, I've made too many mistakes. I've had sex outside of wedlock. I've had children outside of wedlock. I've done drugs. I've partied. I was a whoremonger, a gambler, an adulterer, a liar, a murderer, a thief. You've done it all. But I'm here to tell you that what God saw over you when he first spoke, what he saw in you, has not changed. What has changed is you refuse to follow the direction. But what he saw, he still sees. Hallelujah, God. What I love about David is, look at this. It's something that made this shit even deeper for me. It's something that I often hear my pastor, Pastor J.P. Bullock, say, and it sort of followed through to me here in this scripture, because remember, although I just told you what was said in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, I'm actually talking to you about the book of Acts in the New Testament. And because I'm talking to you about the book of Acts in the New Testament, as I said, this is centuries after King David had lived and walked on this earth, and he is still, even with all his faults, he is still, even with committing adultery, he is still, even with committing murder, he is still, even with turning his back on one of his children, he is still considered a man after God's own heart. Oh, why is that important? Because of the word of God says in John chapter 6, verse 39, and this is the Father's will who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at that last day. when David committed adultery, I don't read nowhere in the Bible where God showed up and said, David, you messed up, I'm through with you. When David committed murder, God didn't show up and say, David, you messed up, I'm through with you. Oh, he showed up and told him he messed up, but he never cut him off. He didn't turn on him. He did not change his mind and his heart towards him. It's important for us to know who we are in God. Yeah, we might have made some mistakes, but we are still who God said I am. You think that you've left it, lost it because you have not forgiven yourself of the sins of your past. You think that you've lost it because you messed up even in your current walk. You think that you lost it because you have some habits and some hang-ups that Christ has not yet delivered you from, but yet I am still here to tell you that God sent me to remind you that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath, that you are the lender and not the borrower, that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who loves you, that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. He told me to tell you that you are above and not beneath. You are the children of the Most High God. That's a sharp spot right there. Hallelujah. That no matter what, God has looked at you and said, you are my child. Hallelujah, God. He has called out for you. He has called you by name. He loved you so much that Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 lets you know that before he even laid the foundation of the world, God chose you. Hallelujah. Before he put the world in place, he chose you. And even in his choosing us, sometimes we feel like we're not in rhythm with God. And we feel like we're not in rhythm with God because a lot of times we as believers, we make the mistake at looking at what is going on around us to determine our rhythm. What I need you to understand is that when you are in rhythm with God, you are usually out of rhythm with the rest of the world. Amen? When you are in rhythm with God, you are not in rhythm with the world. Let's look at this through today's society. What do we teach our children? If somebody hits us, the world says, hit them back. But God says, if somebody hits you, you are to turn the other cheek. The world says, you're not supposed to let nobody take nothing from you. God says, if they steal your shirt, turn around and give them your cloak. The world says, watch out for number one. The word of God says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The world says, keep your enemies at a far distance. The word of God says, love and pray for your enemies. When you are in the will, in the heartbeat, in rhythm with God, you will not be in the rhythm of the world. Now, here goes one more, y'all. Somebody didn't believe that. So let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. And I don't know if you how many know the full story, but Matthew chapter 14 talks about when the disciples were on the boat, and it was the middle of the night, and the storm had came up upon them. And when the storm came up upon them, they saw Jesus walking to them on the water. And at first, they thought he was a ghost. But someone said, no, it's the Savior, it's the Lord, it's the Messiah, it's the Son of David. And Peter, being Peter, I love Peter, Peter said, God, if that is you, Christ, if that is you, Jesus, if that is you, Lord, Master, if that is you, bid me to come out to you. Now, notice, they were on the boat in the middle of the sea, and it was a stormy sea. Now, the world says, you better stay in that boat and hope you can get safely to shore. The world says, if you can't swim, you're going to sink. Don't step out that boat. But what did Jesus tell him to do? Jesus said, Peter, come on. Come on over here to me. And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. But when he started to look around him, he got out of the rhythm of God and into the rhythm of what it looked like, and he began to sink into the water. And Jesus reached down and lifted him up and said, and just asked him the simple question, why did you take your eyes off of me? Why did you begin to doubt? Why did you begin to lose faith? And as a person who taught dance for many years and still do praise dance, but I taught jazz and ballet and tap. And one of the things that I always found out that when you're teaching a child how to dance, or when you're teaching a student how to dance, the one thing that they have to do in order to keep the rhythm or to get the rhythm, to get the move, is they have to keep their eye on the instructor. Somebody getting ready to get this in a second. They got to keep their eye on the person giving them instructions. And if they keep the eye on the person giving them instructions, when the instructor moves their right foot, they will move their right foot. When the instructor moves their left foot, they will move their left foot. But if they take their eyes off the instructor and start looking at what the folk around them are doing, they will mess up the rhythm and lose their beat. I'm here to tell you this evening that somebody needs to put their eyes back on the Savior. Hallelujah, God. He sent them for a reason. But for those of us that are out there, you may be a babe in Christ. You may be new to your walk. You may be new in your relationship. There are some characteristics to our pre-King David. See, I'm not going to talk about King David, because remember, God said he was a man after his own heart before he became king. So we're going to talk about some things that pre-King David used to do. And for those of you listening, we're going to call this the David Shuffle. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And it's an 8-count step, and we call it the David Shuffle. And if you can learn this David Shuffle, I promise you that you will be able, if you are not already, to get in rhythm with God's heartbeat. Now, steps one and step two. In step one, he wasn't bitter. In step two, he remained humble. Hallelujah. David, though he was rejected by his fathers and his brothers as the least of them all. Remember, David was the youngest of the clan. He was the baby of the bunch. While his brothers was all fighting wars, David was at home taking care of his daddy's flock. When the prophet Samuel came to anoint the new king, he said to Jesse, God has sent me to anoint the new king from out of your household. And he said, bring me your sons. And David went and got all of his, not David, I'm sorry, David's father went and got all of his sons. He went and got everybody but David. He went and got the strongest, the tallest, the fastest, the smartest, the nicest, the meanest. He got everybody but David. And Samuel went head from one child to the next child, and God would not allow the oil to flow. And when Samuel turned to David's father, he said, Jesse, you don't have no more children nowhere? And he said, well, I got one, but he just a boy. He watch my sheep. He don't know nothing about politics. He don't know nothing about war. He don't know nothing about leading anybody. He said, well, get him, because these sons you brought before me was not the one. And I'm saying that to say that even with that, David was not bitter. David served his brothers. David served his fathers, and he served them with a pure heart. He didn't have no resentment. He didn't look for an opportunity to get them back. He didn't do it with any ill feelings towards them. He just served them and was blessing God for the ability to serve them. Look at this pre-king. David, this man after God's own heart. Some of us need to get rid of some bitterness out of us today. Thank you, Jesus. But I said step two was he was humble. Even before he became the king, he was humble. But even more importantly than before he became the king, he was humble. Once he was anointed the king, he remained humble. How did he remain humble? Because David knew that no matter how much of a king he might have been, he served the king that was greater than he was. Hallelujah. No matter where you may think that you are in your walk, no matter where you may think that you are in your call, no matter how anointed you may feel as though you are, no matter what it is that you think is going on in your life, remember that there is a God that sits higher than we do. Amen. And because of that, David always referred to himself as God's servant. Even as the king, he continuously referred to himself as, I am just a servant of God. Hallelujah. Yes, David was humble because he knew who made him and he knew who was guiding and protecting him. If you don't believe me, we'll look at the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That meant God is leading me. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. So David was saying, I'm nothing more than his sheep, and I will follow him where he leads me. He leads me into green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He maketh me lie down. David was talking about his role as the sheep as he was praising God for his role as the shepherd. So step one and step two in the David shuffle, if you want to get into the rhythm of God, would be do not be bitter and remain humble. But steps three and four, I like three and four. And three and four is David was not just a worshiper, but he also loved God's word. Now step three and four go hand in hand. It's a quick step. It's not like one and two. It's three, four. It's a quick step. You got to put them together because it's hard to become a worshiper if you don't love God's word. And it's hard to love God's word if you're not really a worshiper. The two of them go hand in hand. One beautiful thing about David was that all through his life, he had a passion for worship. And David would worship God privately, so he had no problem worshiping him publicly. Some of y'all, we sit in different sanctuaries and we look around, and when praises are going up and when worship is going forward, I'm not talking about show-shop when we just pretending that we worshiping, but when people are truly worshiping and you see certain folk and they sitting there and they just refuse to let go of anything that's holding on to them, you show me a person that will not worship in public, I'm showing you a person that will not worship in private, because a private worshiper can't help but to bless God at all times. David said, for I delight in your commands because I love them. See, he delighted in the worship because he loved the word of God. It was the love that he had for God's word that would bubble up into worship. Hallelujah. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all thine heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. That's Psalms 119. If you look at it and listen to what he said, blessed is the man who keeps his statutes. Blessed is the man who loves the word of God, who lives the word of God, who does not just talk it, but they walk it. They exemplify it. They portray it even at their worst time. One of the things that I love about Sister Adrian is that even when she's sick, she tries to bless God. Even when she's in pain, she'll go, I'm not feeling too good today, but I bless God for the pain. I love that about her because she reminds me of David in that aspect. She said, no matter what, his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. She don't just praise him when she feels good. She praises him when she feels bad also. But she knows that she has to praise him because if she praises him, the word of God says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And I don't know about you, but there is no healing like the healing that comes from the very presence of God. Hallelujah. So we got those first four steps, not bitter, but be humble. Worship and love God's word. So it's not bitter, step one, humble, step two. Worship and love God's word is 3 and 4, just that fast. Worship and love God's word. Hallelujah. Now, when you get to these next two steps, step 5 and step 6 comes with you have to trust God, and then here comes this repentance. Now, why is it important to trust God? It's important to trust God because you have because people will try to convince you to do that which God did not tell you to do. It's been going on since the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, what did the serpent do? What did Satan do through the serpent? He convinced Eve that what God told her and what God told Adam was not really going to happen. He convinced Eve that God's word was not true. So you have to be able to trust God, because if you do not trust God, someone might be able to convince you that God's word is not true. You have to trust God just as a sheep trusts the shepherd. And that's what David did. David trusted God, and David had reason to trust God. Like even when he went forth to fight Goliath, remember, he wasn't king yet when he fought Goliath. But even when he went forth to fight Goliath, and King Saul tried to put all of his armor on David and gave him his sword and his shield and his helmet, and David put it on and said, man, I can't even walk in this. I can't do this. He said, listen, when I was watching my daddy's sheep, I had to fight a lion off one day. God delivered me from the lion. He said, listen, when I was watching my daddy's sheep, I had to chase a bear off one day, and God delivered me and the sheep from the bear. He said, so if God can take out a lion, and if God can take out a bear, and I was just a little boy, what is this giant Goliath to God? Who is greater? And he goes out there and on faith. You know the story of what happened to the giant Goliath. So I'm sharing that with you to say to you that you have to be able to step out on faith and trust in God's word. You have to trust. You have to know that you know that you know that you know that God's word is true. You have to be careful for the little tricks of the enemy. And what do I mean when I say little tricks of the enemy? Understand, Satan didn't just come up to Eve and say, Eve, listen, boo, this is some good fruit, and God, a total lie. He asked Eve what she said and then what God said and then flipped it on and said, well, no, that's not really what God said. You know, that's not what he meant. He didn't mean it that way. He didn't mean it would be done that way. He didn't mean it would be said that way. But what he meant was, this, and it caused Eve to fall. What I'm trying to get you to understand is we have to be careful. Some of us are falling and falling short of the glory of God because people think they are helping us. What do you think would have happened to King David when he was fighting Goliath if he'd have went out there with the help of Saul and all of Saul's armor and with Saul's sword, with Saul's shield? He'd have been putting his trust in Saul and Saul's equipment. We got to be careful because sometimes Satan will appear as if he's helping when all he's really coming to do is be a hindrance and to bring you down. And then when you find that you have fallen, you have to get to a place of true repentance. I don't mean where you apologize because you got caught. I mean you apologize because you know that you are wrong. Apologize because you know that no matter what you can hide from man, you can't hide anything from God. You apologize, and not just apologize, but then you turn from it. When David was confronted with the sin of Bathsheba, you know, killing her husband, getting her pregnant, committing adultery, all of that stuff, when David was confronted with that sin, David didn't sit there and do like some, well, you know, it wasn't even me. Bathsheba had no business getting on that roof to take her bath. Matter of fact, she should be stoned because she allows her nakedness to be seen in public. He didn't do that. He didn't make any excuse. He didn't say, well, you know, if my first wife would have been treating me better and would have stood by me and would have did, then we would have been able to do something else. David didn't do that. David fell on his knees and repented before the Lord. And I love the psalm that he wrote. That's where he penned the 51st psalm. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For now, see, this is the part. He, not only did he say, forgive me, that was that part right there when he was saying, wash me thoroughly and cleanse me. And that was the forgiveness. But then he got real with it. He got honest. He said, because I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Let me tell you something my granddaddy used to tell me. My grandfather used to say to me since I was a little girl, don't worry about hiding nothing from a man who has no heaven or hell to put you in. In other words, if you can't hide it from God, don't worry about hiding it from man. So when God comes and corrects you, it don't make no sense to try to lie, try, cry, none of that. What you need to do is fall on your hands and your knees and get into a repenting spirit where you can break forth and become made whole, where you can break forth and be healed from the trials and the tribulations that you brought upon yourself because of your disobedience to the Father. Hallelujah, God. I know somebody ain't like that, but that I'm just going to call it what it is. You have to repent. And you have to trust God. And then the last two steps, and then we're going to go into our call of salvation if we have no callers this evening, is David was hard working and committed. Hallelujah. And understand, I said David was hard working, and somebody sitting there going, well, I'm hard working, so I know that God is going to use me because I'm very hard working. But I have to be honest with you for a second. God does not look at man's commitment and passion in the natural before using him spiritually. God isn't looking to see what you're doing. He's not judging what you're doing in the natural realm to decide if he's going to use you in the spiritual realm. Remember, Saul, who is the one that became the Apostle Paul, as he's talking in the book of Acts in the New Testament, in the natural realm, he was going around killing the believers in Christ. That's what he was doing. So it wasn't what he was doing in the natural realm that made God call him. So there was something else that made him call him. But why is that important that David was hard working? Again, it's not man's natural skills that qualifies him for spiritual use. But on the same token, nowhere in the Bible have I ever seen God call somebody or use somebody that wasn't doing anything. Again, even Paul, before he was converted and his name was changed to Paul, was a Sanhedrin. His name was Saul. And yes, before he was called, he was doing something. He was going through the land, killing anybody who he found to be followers of the West. Even Moses, when he was running from the Pharaoh and hiding because he had killed the Egyptians, he was doing something when God called him to lead his people out of Egypt. He was watching his father-in-law's sheep. Even Gideon, though Gideon was hiding, he was hiding, but he was busy working in the field. No matter who God called, they were busy doing something before God called them. If you look at all of the disciples, each one that he called, they were in the midst of doing something when God called them. Why was that important? Some of us are just sitting back on the sea to do nothingness, and we're trying to figure out why God won't use us. Because we won't do nothing when he ain't called us. So why would we think that he will put that in us to do something after the fact? Somebody's upset because I said that, and somebody else is going to catch that. I've always been a person to speak if there was something that needed to be said. As shy as I may be on most occasions, if it was to talk about the glory of God, I've always been willing to do it. But in the nutshell, even in my willingness to do it, I was doing it before I was ever called to preach. I was doing that which he wanted me to do. And that's where it gets to with us. We have to understand that God is not a respecter of persons. What God has done for me, God will do the same for you. What God has done for others, he can do the same for you. But the one thing God will not do is force himself upon you. Or he's not going to force you into rhythm. You're going to have to choose to get into that rhythm. One and two, three and four, five, six, and seven and eight, and one and two, three and four, five, six, and seven and eight. You got to get into that rhythm of God. But you have to be willing to. He's not going to pull you up off of the seat in the pew or do nothingness and force you into rhythm with him. You have to be willing to get up in one and two, three and four and five, six and seven and eight. And you have to be willing to get into God's rhythm. And how do you get into God's rhythm? By accepting the gift that he gave you, by accepting, thank you, Jesus, by accepting the beat that he gave to you to dance to, which was through his son, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And I love that word, whosoever. Whosoever means he does not care about your past if you are willing to bring it to him. He knows about your past. He knows about that woman you snuck around with last night. He knows about that man you laying next to right now. He knows about the drink you got, the party you going to. He knows about everything you can think of that you thought to do that you might do. He knows about what you going to do that you haven't even thought about yet. And even in the midst of all that he knows, he is standing there looking at you, talking about you, as he talked about King David. There is my child, a person after my own heart. If they would just only come to me. And now all you have to do is come. Just come. Just come, say, God, I'm willing to dance to your rhythm. I'm willing to get my heartbeat in rhythm with your heartbeat. And you do it by simply saying these words. You just say, Father God, I believe in your word that I'm a sinner and that I need to be saved. I ask you to come into my life. I ask for your son Jesus Christ to come into my life, to cleanse me, to make me whole, to make me new, to forgive me of my sins, to create in me that new heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, the last thing that you have to do is you just tell somebody. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning Bible study prayer service. You can just call somebody up on the phone and say, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. You can send out a text message. You can call in 319-527-6091, plus one, and say, hey, I don't even want nothing. I just wanted to let you know that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior this evening. And bless God, according to God's word, once you make that confession out of your mouth, you are saved. Now, of course, we encourage you to attempt to find the Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the same knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. If you can hold on for 1 minute, we will be bringing on our engineer, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. We will be coming on to give you announcements on how you can follow us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, as well as to who will be broadcasting tomorrow evening. Amen. And once he comes on with that, we will be right back with you. But before he comes, listen, if you are listening via internet, you have about 6 more minutes before you will be cut off automatically at 10 p.m. So we want you, if you would like to hear the remainder of the show, to please call in to 319-527-6091 so that you can hear the remaining of the ministry this evening. Praise God. Brother Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am. And we thank you so much. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and we thank you for listening. Whether you're listening via online or via phone, we thank you so much. We appreciate your participation in tonight's program. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. You can do so also on purpose_kingdom on Instagram and Twitter. And as always, we like to hear your correspondence from you, the listener. We appreciate that very much. If you want to listen to any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience, and we also appreciate if you do so. With God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Deep Block Church, hosted by our very own Miss Adrian, Miss Understanding Dallin. And once again, that's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you'll be able to participate in tomorrow's programming. And that's going to be D-Block Church. And it's going to be hosted by our very own Adrian, Miss Understanding Dallin. And as always, we appreciate each and everything you do as a listener here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you for your continued support, and we hope you continue to support us, and we thank you so much. And Pastor Toy, I'm going to return the programming back in your hands.
Well, bless God. Thank you so much for those announcements. And we just thank and bless God for each and every one of you, our listeners. And at the end of it all, the whole purpose behind this evening was to help somebody somewhere understand the importance of getting into the rhythm of God or becoming a person after God's own heart. And see, here's the deal. We got it easier than King David did. We have something that King David was looking for. We have something that King David was hoping for. We have the power, the saving power of the Messiah, the saving power of the Christ. See, David and all of those before him and those after him, they were all waiting for the Messiah. We have the Messiah, and because of the blood that was shed for us on Calvary, we have that freedom where when God looks upon us, he no longer sees the transgression if you are a believer. But what he sees is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. It is the blood that speaks for us. It is the blood that heals us. It is the blood that delivers us. Hallelujah, God. We just bless him for the blood. Hallelujah. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Hallelujah. There's something about the blood. So often that, as I said, it's almost like God, when he was freeing the children of Israel from Egypt on the night of Passover, and he told them to apply the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost. And he said to them, wherever I see the blood, I shall pass over. I'm just beseeching you this evening to apply the blood of Christ to your life. And beseeching you to do as God's word says, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Are you walking? Are you dancing? Are you talking? Are you singing in rhythm to God's heartbeat? Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? Know that I love you with the love of Christ. We are praying for you. We are praying with you. Please do not forget to join us back here tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Again, thank you to each and every one of our listeners. We bless God for you. May God bless you. Good evening. Good night. God bless.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.